The Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I've asked a cast of characters to help us this morning with a little skit that I wrote specifically for Epiphany Sunday. The story has been told for centuries now, how the three kings, Gaspar, Melchior, and Belshazzar, brought gifts to the newborn king. The truth is, the Bible doesn't tell us they were kings. They were magi. They were the scientists of their day, sages, astronomers, astrologers, wise people. Not just ordinary men or women either. The Bible doesn't tell us there were three of them either. Three wise people carrying in such expensive gifts would have been foolish enough to travel alone, would not have been foolish enough to travel alone. Most likely, they traveled in a caravan with as many as 20 or 30 other people, servants, guards, and fellow magi. As everyone knows, the number comes from the gifts they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the story is incomplete. Listen to what I believe is the rest of the story. You shall learn the secret of the gifts. Use your imagination to see Mary, Joseph, and a 2-year-old Jesus as these visitors arrive. I'll ask the visitors to come and take their places eventually. Modern astronomers believe the star they followed was a conjunction of several planets, and it would have taken them a year or more to follow it to Bethlehem. We catch up with the three wise people as they discuss their visit to Bethlehem.
You know, I wish I'd gotten a camel that spit at me every time I get close to it. That, Gaspar?
Nope.
Well, who would have believed he was born in a cave used for a stable? As we followed that star, I thought there would be a mansion or a castle or a palace. I never expected to hear that he was surrounded by sheep and goats, cows and horses when he was born.
What amazed me were his parents, his mother and his father. My word. I mean, the star we followed was a royal star, and I expected royalty. We came to the house where he was staying. I thought we were seeing a servant girl and a carpenter, just poor, ordinary people. No jewels, no riches, no nothing. Just common, ordinary peasants.
What almost fooled me was this Herod, this so-called king. Did he take us in? When he asked us to come back and tell him where the child was born so that he could worship him. I almost fell for that. If God hadn't given me that dream to warn us about Herod and to go back this longer way, we would have delivered the child right into his very hands.
That would have been terrible. I'm certain he would have killed us too if he could have.
That Herod was insanely paranoid and cruel. I suspect that he may still arrange for all the babies in the land of Israel to be killed. I would not be at all surprised by that. He may slaughter lots of innocent children in order to kill that one.
How lucky we were that the sign was a star and not a comet.
Yes, of course.
A comet would have meant evil omen. All of my studies have told me that a comet foretells something terrible will happen. The death of a king, a great famine, or a war that kills thousands of people. But instead of a comet, we saw a star.
A sign of goodness. I understand Jupiter and Saturn. I understand a king being born in Israel. And I understand about the star, the goodness of the star. I too am glad it is not a comet, Balthasar. But one thing that baffles me is that it happened in the constellation of Pisces. I mean, there is never anything great that has happened in the constellation Pisces. I don't understand it. The sign of the fish. This great king was born with the sign of the fish. It seems peculiar.
Perhaps one day God will give me another dream and explain the meaning of Pisces and why the great king was born under the sign of the fish. But let's talk of what we do know, of what we have learned. What you have learned from this adventure we've shared together.
Well, as you both know, I'm quite a materialistic. And I can argue the price of camels with anybody. But somehow this journey has taught me the truth about success and money. They are really rather empty. In spite of what the world thinks, they don't bring happiness.
We each gave gifts to this Christ child.
I gave gold to this king. Gold, the sign of rulers. And you, Balthasar, you gave myrrh, the sign and ointment of those who died but lived forever.
And I gave frankincense. You can tell how much of a materialist I am. I kept a little bit for myself. Here, you can even smell it. You know,
isn't that mean stuff?
Very good.
It has a beautiful scent. Incense shows that the Christ child is going to be a spiritual leader. For frankincense belongs to priests. It's a sign of priests. But in spite of all these gifts and their symbolism, I believe that the baby born in Bethlehem was really the greatest gift, far greater than the gifts we offered.
Melchior, it sounds to me as if you have found a new jewel more precious than gold and perfumes we brought.
Indeed. The gold, the jewels, the perfumes, we desire some of these in this world, but they are no comparison to the Christ child given to us from God.
You sound like a person who is no longer young, but is now older and wiser.
Older, indeed.
Typecasting.
Melchior, what have you learned?
I think God has taught me through this journey that I can only find that meaning by taking a great risk. By being willing to give up my old life and doing something. I took this journey and I'm learning to do the truth. In that baby, God was doing the truth, not merely searching for the truth.
I agree. I was thinking the other day, a thief does not become a thief only by thinking about stealing. A thief becomes a thief by stealing once, then a second time, and a third time. And so on until it becomes a way of life. By his very character and the way he lives, the thief has become a thief. So, likewise, a kind person becomes a kind person by an ongoing, repeated act and another act until they have become a person who lives a life full of good, loving deeds.
You're a deep thinker. I recall your dream before we presented our gifts. It shook me to the core. In your dream, you saw each of us preparing to offer our gift. You saw...
The angel Gabriel stands by, guarding the door. The first of the visitors was Gaspar, a wealthy woman with a cloak of fine velvet trimmed with flawless fur. She stopped at the door by the angel Gabriel.
Greetings, Gaspar. I trust your journey went well. You have traveled along and far to visit this young one. All who enter must bring a gift.
I brought this gift of the finest gold.
Your gift must be something of the essence of yourself. Something precious to your soul.
That's exactly what I thought.
But as Gaspar knelt to lay her gold before the child, she stopped and stood erect. In her hand lay not gold, but a hammer. Its scarred and blackened head, its long handle lay there in Gaspar's hand. Gaspar stood there, dumbfounded.
What you hold in your hands is the hammer of mankind's greed, used to pound wealth from those who labor, so that some may live in luxury while others live in slums.
Gaspar bowed her head in shame and turned to leave, but Gabriel blocked her way.
No, you have not offered your gift.
Give this? Not to a king.
This is why you came. You cannot take it back. It's too heavy a burden. Leave it here, or it will destroy you.
Why? The child cannot lift it.
He is the only one who can.
So Gaspar placed the hammer near Jesus and slowly turned to leave. Next to step to the door was Melchior, the scholar with the length of his beard and the furrows of his brow illuminating the wisdom of age. He too paused before the door.
What have you brought for the child?
I brought frankincense, the fragrance of hidden lands and bygone days.
Your gift must be something of the essence of yourself, something precious to your soul.
Melchior stood breathless, kneeling reverently down to draw a silver flask from beneath his robe. But the vessel in his hand was not silver at all. It was a common clay, tough and stained. Aghast, he pulled the stopper from its mouth and sniffed the contents.
Ugh, this is vinegar.
You have brought some of what mankind is made of. Bitterness. The soured wine of lives turned grim with jealousy and hate. Carried within too long. The memories of old hurts, hoarded resentments, and smoldering anger. Man has sought knowledge, but filled their lives with poison.
But this is vile stuff. What if the child should touch it to his lips?
You must leave that worry to heaven. There is use even for vinegar.
One more visitor comes forward, Belshazzar, the leader of many legions and the scourge of walled cities. He grasps a finely bound box.
I bring myrrh, the most precious plunder of my boldest conquest. Many have fought and died for this, the essence of a most rare herb.
But is it the essence of yourself, something precious to your soul?
The soldier shuffles forward, bowing his head near the ground and releasing his grip on the handle of the box. But what he laid before the child's feet was his own spear.
It cannot be. Some enemy has tricked me.
That is more true than you know. 1,000 enemies have manipulated mankind and turned their souls into spears. Living only to conquer, they have conquered. Each battle they win leads only to another.
I cannot leave this.
Are you sure?
But here, he is but a child. The spear could pierce his flesh.
That fear you must leave to heaven.
Belshazzar leaves the spear and slowly walks away. What of the gifts, you ask? The hammer, the vinegar, the spear? Another story tells how they were seen once more, years later, on a lonely hill outside of Jerusalem. But don't worry, that's the burden heaven itself took care of, as only heaven can.
Truth comes by doing. I've learned that by the risk and the walking of this journey.
We have all seen the truth of God in the Christ-like child.
That's what draws us together. I think all of us are people of the truth, and we have found that the truth is in this Christ. The knowledge of Christ is the answer that we have been looking for.
The hour's getting late. Day's almost over. We need to be on our separate ways.
It is time for us to go. Peace be with all of you.
And may the peace of God be with you, my friends.
Farewell.
Wise men and women of every age, pondering your hearts what gifts you have received and what you're willing to give for your Christ child. What is the essence of your life that you offer to your King of Kings in the offering plate? What gifts do you give to your King in your daily life? Wise men and women, ponder in your hearts what gifts you have received and what you are willing to give to your Christ child. Amen.